Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had quite a week this week. I think that we continue to do the things that need to be done. Well, listen, explain to me, how can the Sheriff Department sexually attack women and nobody go to jail? Can somebody please explain that to me? How can the Sheriff Department, which is law enforcement, their job is to serve and protect, attack women inside the jail, and nobody goes to jail? And these are white women. It was a black woman. You might say, because you could even kill a black man and nothing would happen. You could rape a black woman and nothing would happen. But here in Barron County, it is out of control. Out of control. For years, they have continued to do the same thing over and over and over again. One of the young men who attacked one of the ladies there was a relative of the sheriff, Sheriff Paul Bailey. What he did while she was in jail, he made contact with her. And when she got out, he went to her house and asked her out on a date. And he was willing to pay for sex. He said that she was a prostitute and he was rendering money for service. This is a young man from the sheriff's department. Well, here's what happened. They didn't fire him. They promoted him. They gave him a promotion. That's right. Now he makes twice as much as he was making before. That's right. This is Sheriff Paul Bailey, nephew, cousin, whatever. He went to the hotel with this young lady, with his uniform on, his pistol, and everything else, and had sex with this lady. Well, it appears to me that he had been doing this for a long period of time. When you get out of jail, he look up while you were in jail, and he used that to his advantage. He would go by the person's house, pick them up, take them to the hotel, and have sex with them with his uniform on. Only in Barron County. And he wasn't the only one. There was one person who worked a midnight shift who would go into the cell with one of the ladies and have sex with her. This is the Barron County we know. But it get worse. Have you ever been inside of Barron County Courthouse? Have you ever been inside of Barron County Courthouse? There's no such thing as justice here in Barron County, Michigan. They believe they can do whatever they want. Judge Dennis Wiley was demoted because he was a racist. They didn't actually say he was a racist, but that's one of the things. He was sending black people to jail, to prison, even for misdemeanor charges. They would send them to jail 90 days. Everything you could think of. And this guy, they got caught. He sent one girl Now listen to this. Who was outside one evening in court. She was paying her fine. And she cursed. Something like, I had to pay this, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. So Wiley ordered her into the courtroom and charged her with contempt of court. Contempt of court, unheard of. And not only that, he put her in jail. She had a bond of $5,000 cash or surety, where she could not go home until she put up $5,000 or had a bondsman put up the $5,000 and she paid $500. Well, the good news behind that, that was reported. And they realized how outrageous that was. And they decided that they was going to put this guy in civil court only for now on until he retired. Because he has been doing this for years and years and years. And nothing ever happened. Wow, just amazing. I mean, you have to live in Barron County, Michigan to understand. I know some of you came from Georgia, some of you came from Alabama, Mississippi, the Carolinas, North and South, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, Kentucky. These states were called, were some of the southern states, Virginia. And you thought it was rough, difficult down back in them days. Barron County is pretty much the same way. We are living in a time where they're able to do whatever they want to do. But here's the problem. It's not really the individual. It's the system itself. If we're going to make this thing better, if we're going to make it better, we got to change the system. See, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. But he went into a system that was prepared for him over 100 years ago. And that's why he was able to do. That's why you have so many guys, so many racists, you know. We're talking maybe 50 million. He got a lot of supporters. People are still supporting him, even though they know that he's a racist, a straight-up racist, you know, with no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Anytime that you have a system that will not feed, clothe and house it people, it must be overturned. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We have to say no more. We can no longer survive in this system. Either we're going to overthrow it, or they're going to overthrow us. Those are the only two options. They're able to do whatever they want to do because we got so many people sleeping. It is time that we wake up. It is time that we understand how important certain things are. See, but the bottom line is we can win. See, this is what people are so intimidated about. We can win. Black, white, brown, red, polka dot, whatever color you want to be. We got a problem. And it's not just the individual. It's the system. It don't make a difference whether you're Republican or Democrat. You're dealing with a system. And the people have been asleep. Until we understand. Until we understand. That if we don't overthrow the system, this system will overthrow us. They have stolen all the money. All the money. Trillions of dollars missing. Trillions. Nobody want to talk about that. They bring in people. They bring in family members and all their friends. They dominate all the dollars. Millions of dollars. I'm not talking about the little chump change. And then now they want to cut Medicare. Who ever heard of this? They want to cut Medicare. That's not even the government. That's your money. They want to take your check away from you. That's what they want to do. Like they're giving you something. That's your money. So stand up and fight back. Until you're able to fight back, it's going to continue just this way. But just remember, either the system will overthrow you, or you are going to have to overthrow this system. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. But listen, I got to bring in my first guest, my guy. He was at my trial, and I tell you, I just love this guy. You know, he's right on point, and spent a little time with him this weekend, last weekend, and just a tremendous person. You know, some of his friends up in Detroit is my friends. Some of his enemies up in Detroit is my enemies. But he's still the guy. He knows what to do. But my friend, Dave, are you there? Talk to Reverend Pinckney today.
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you today?
I'm great, Dave. I'm great. Good to hear your voice. You know, it's always good to hear your voice because I know that you always got something good for us.
Thank you very much for the compliment.
That's right, because you're a good man, Dave. You're a good man, and I appreciate you. Let's put it that way. I appreciate the work you do all the years. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you have done before we get into our subject matter today?
Well, I am an attorney. I represented working people in my practice. I'm also a teacher. I taught in the Detroit Public Schools. I taught history and literature. I've been involved in the struggle since I was very young because my father was an attorney and he was involved in the struggle of forming the UAW. So that'll tell you, I'm married. I got a 40-year-old daughter who's also a lawyer, and I got a 4-year-old granddaughter.
Well, bless your heart. Hey, you know what? I mean, we can't ask for more. I know you have been in the struggle a long time, but I want to ask you one question. Maybe you can answer this for me. Me and a friend of mine, Dave, is working on a project where we're willing to allow people to vote by phone. Have you ever watched Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, I think so.
And what they do, you know, when they get ready to vote for someone, they do it by phone. And
mm-hmm.
We've been thinking about this and for years, and we said, well, why can't, rather going to the polls in the cold weather, raining,
mm-hmm.
standing in mm-hmm. long line, why can't we vote by phone? The same system. I think that we can work on it and tweak it a little bit, and I think that will be the answer to getting more people out to vote. I think people will come out to vote, or people will vote more if they can vote from home. That's my way of thinking, and I think we can, you know, I think it can be done because according to this country said they can do anything. If you can do anything,
I think with the new technology that we can have a far better democracy than we have right now. You know, people can vote by phone. They could vote by their cell phone. They could vote by their computer. But even now with going to the polls, some people can go to the polls like where I live. I go in, I vote, I leave. But I see mm-hmm. pictures of other people who live in poorer neighborhoods. They got to stand in line for hours in the rain, in the snow, and then they'd be striking people off of the voter rolls. I read where they had a 94-year-old woman who's been voting for 60 years, and she went to the voting to get vote, and her name wasn't on the voting rolls. So they're constantly trying to limit our ability to vote. Even when this country began, you had to be a white man who owned property, to vote. Women couldn't vote. Poor people couldn't vote. Native Americans couldn't vote. Africans couldn't vote. And it's been a struggle every way, every all along the line, just to get that right to vote. And it's still, we still don't have the right to vote.
Absolutely.
That's why
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't vote, because our choices are so limited. You know, you've got Tweedledee and Tweedledum. They don't represent us. They represent these wealthy people looking after their interests. So a lot of people just decide, I don't want to vote. You know, what's the purpose? It's going to be the same before the election and after the election.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And believe me, I understand exactly where you're going. And what's going on in North Carolina now is shameful and disgraceful. And guess what? The Republican Party is behind that. What went on in Georgia, what went on in Florida, the Republican parties were behind those things. See, people, we so hung up on Republican and Democrat that we get sidetracked with reality. We don't really understand. You know, it's not really the Republican or the Democrat. It's the system itself. It's system got to be overturned.
Yes. Right here in Detroit, in Michigan, you know, Trump won it by 10,000 votes, supposedly, and Jill Stein and the Green Party called for a recount. Now, that would have benefited the Democrats if they could have overturned that election. But the courts threw out the recount after it was about halfway there, because the Democratic Party wouldn't get behind the recount. They said the Green Party had no real stake in the election because they couldn't win. And the Democratic Party wouldn't get behind the recount, where they might have won, because they're so corrupt. You know, they don't want anybody to peep their whole card. So it's both parties that are corrupt and don't look after our interests.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. And that is one of the things that the people need to understand. You know, you see, it's not just the Republican. It's the Democrat. It's the whole system. It's the system itself. Dave, that got to be overturned. If we don't overturn it, they're going to overturn us, and that's the way it is.
Well, like, what do we mean by the system? It's a system that all the assets, all the good things of society, are owned by these private individuals and corporations that represent a tiny clique of the society. You know, and we have no say so. You know, so and then the elections, you've got to be rich to run for office. So what we're talking about is these corporations like General Motors, Ford, et cetera, they need to be publicly owned, and they need to produce things for the benefit of the people. As long as these things are privately owned by a few individuals, a few corporations, they're gonna use this in their own interest. That's the system. Now, let's take a guy like Henry Ford. Now, maybe he made some contributions. He developed the production line, et cetera. But what about all the workers that built these cars over the years, over the years, over the years? Okay, well, Ford's got a good stash of money. That's good. But he's been paid back for his services. Now it's time to make that publicly owned, the utilities publicly owned, health insurance for all. So it's our society, our country, and not the country of a few people.
Absolutely. I tell you, you are right there, because I agree with you 100%. But we got to tell the people, we got to educate the people on that level, Dave, because if we don't educate them, they'll never know. You got people who have bought into this system and don't understand what the system is actually doing. They don't realize go ahead.
People don't feel empowered. They feel like that these people know and they don't know, right? They figure these people are the only ones that can run the system and that we can't. But who does the work? We do the work. We do the work in the factories. We clean the streets. And we're the scientists. Anybody who works for a wage is a worker, right? And we're doing all the work. We're putting men on. We're putting satellites around the planet. We're putting men on the moon. We, the workers, not these big corporations. We do the work, and we have the capacity to run the society a lot better, it seems to me, than these folks who own everything, because all they care about is their own personal profit. And so they're holding progress back, because a lot more could be done, you know, in terms of scientific development, in terms of providing for people. We can produce more than enough for everybody on the planet. but they want to keep the status quo. So we have to begin to understand who we are, what our power is, what our capacity is, and we need to get organized. Right now we're fighting on various fronts. You know, we're fighting on the front of the cops killing people, killing black people. We're fighting on the front of women being abused. We're fighting on the front of these immigrants who can't, who come in and supply their labor, but they have to come in illegally. They could be arrested and deported at any time. We're fighting on all these. We're fighting on the front of the health of the planet itself. The planet is being destroyed. We're fighting on the front of renewable energy. But we have to understand that it's the same enemy on all these fronts. It's this ruling class, this class of elites, and their political hacks, the political class that represents them, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, that's serving their interests, and that's causing havoc, wars. Why do we need to spend all this money on the military? For what? To put down ordinary people in other parts of the world? They're not attacking us. But 53% of the budget goes to the military. Now, everybody could live a good life in this society with robots and computers doing the work. We could become musicians and artists and scientists and do all these things, but they got their hands on the levers of power, so we have to get organized. We have to unite all these struggles that are in all these silos of all these individual struggles and form a working class party that represents our interests.
And you know what? I'm right there with you on that. You know, and think about General Motors, how General Motors used to operate. Remember, it used to take 50 people to make one automobile. Now you can make 50 automobiles with one person.
Yeah. I'm working for the city department when they made this Pole Town plan. You know, and they took all this property, all these people's homes and everything, to build this Pole Town trap. This was under Coleman Young. He said, hey, we need to have jobs. So they built that Pole Town plan, destroyed this community, and now the Pole Town plan, and we gave them all these tax breaks, right? Now the Pole Town plan's going to shut down.
Wow.
Well, what is
amazing.
That all about? Now they're going to shut it down after the city paid for all their property and gave them tax breaks and so forth so we could get 5,000 jobs. And now they're going to shut it down. Don't they have some kind of obligation to the people of the city of Detroit?
They should have an obligation, but the way they look at it, I guess they said just be thankful that we supplied them jobs during that period of time. Just be thankful for that because we do what we want to do. We control everything. And it doesn't make a difference. It goes back to the system and how they control everything and do what they want. But I know one thing for sure, that you know that there is a solution, Dave. And can you talk about the solution a little bit? Maybe what we should be doing or what we can do. Anything on that level would, you know, maybe wake the people up, because you know, all my listeners, surely they're going to be sending me emails once again. And I like it. I love them giving me feedback on different things like this. But listen, tell us what we need to do, you know, and some of the things that you're doing or some of the things that's going on with you. That's what I want to hear.
Okay. Well, I'm involved with a group called the League of Revolution for a New America. Acronym is LERNA, and that we're in a new epoch now. Where you know, in the past, people could go down to the plants and get a job and have a pension and maybe buy a cottage, and whether it would be Whirlpool or General Motors or Ford. But now, with the robots and the computers doing the work, people are ending up being thrown under the bridge, and it ain't going to get any better. So, objectively, we're being informed. And we say they got 12 years before this global warming is irreversible. So we don't have any choice but to get together and create a new system. All these robots and computers doing the work, we could have a beautiful life. You take a guy like Jefferson. Why was he able to write the Declaration of Independence and Madison to write the Constitution? Because they had a bunch of slaves doing the work for them. so they could get sit back in their study and write these things and read these books and stuff. Well, right now we got a bunch of computers and robots working for us. We could sit back in our study and write and just think what the human race could do now with in this period of digital electronics. So what we believe is that we have to, that there's a lot of people out here that that are revolutionaries. They understand what's going on, whether through their words or through their deeds. They understand what's going on. They're in opposition to this system. And we have to unite these scared revolutionaries on the basis of the demands of this new class of workers that are being thrown out of work because of the robots and the computers. We in the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, well, one thing we're doing is we're having a Martin Luther King Jr. luncheon on Saturday, January 12th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Central United Methodist Church in Detroit at 23 East Adams Avenue. And if you want to make inquiries, you can do it to the People's Tribune at 248-629-0897. That's 248-629-0897. Now, Maureen Taylor is going to be the MC of this luncheon. She's been fighting for people for not to have their water turned off. She's been fighting for poor people her whole life. And guess who the speakers are? Reverend Edward Pinckney from the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization, BANCO. And Reverend Pinckney is going to talk about the situation in Benton Harbor. He's going to talk about the emergency manager, and Clara McClinton from the Democracy Defense League in Flint, who's going to talk about what happened when they poisoned the water in Flint, which they still have not corrected. So we're going to have people speaking there from different struggles, representing ordinary folk. And this is one way we can get together, get to know each other. We plan on having more of these events. We plan on having classes so we can begin to bring all these struggles together and see where that takes us. We know that the people who own everything are very well organized, and that's how they maintain their power, and we have to get organized. We, just like I've heard you say many times, we have to learn to trust each other. We have to learn how to work together. We have to learn how to be organized, and we need people with a how to work this social media, who know how to print documents, to print newsletters, newspapers. We have to develop an infrastructure, just like they have. They're bombarding us all the time with this advertising, with these crazy television programs and movies, and the news, which is all managed. We have to begin to develop an alternative structure to inform people of what is real, of what's really going on in the world, to inform people of ordinary people's lives, not these glitzy lives that you see on TV or in the movies, but the lives of ordinary people. Like this great French author Balzac said, every human life is a great novel. That means that we're all equal. All of our lives have equal importance. All of our lives are a great novel. We have to get together, combine our forces, whoever we are, wherever we are, wherever we came from, and begin to develop organization and a process of being able to compete with these people that hold the power. You know they're afraid of us. They wouldn't have all these damn cops if they weren't afraid of us. They wouldn't have all these jails. We wouldn't have all these phony courts and phony politicians. They wouldn't have all these tanks, guns, and airplanes if they weren't afraid of us. It's time for us to realize how much power we have, but we have to get together and we have to organize. And the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, we put out a paper every month called Rally Comrades. You can find it on the web. We also support a paper called the People's Tribune, which Reverend Pinckney always has an article about what's going on with him, and the Tribunal del Pueblo, which details what's happening with our Latin brothers and sisters, and it's half in English and half in Spanish.
That is tremendous, and that's a lot of information for people to grasp, because if somebody has to get out here and do something, and And before I let you go, I need you to talk a little bit about this caravan that's coming and how it came up. See, what people don't know is how this caravan came about. Do you have any insight on that?
I know a little bit about it. Most of the people that, as I understand it, are coming from Honduras and Guatemala. Now, in Guatemala, we overthrew the CIA under President Eisenhower overthrew the democratically elected government of Guatemala because they wanted to nationalize their oil. And they were in a civil war for 40 years. They had death squads just killing people, indigenous people, Native American people. In Honduras, Obama and Clinton helped overthrow the democratically elected government of Honduras. Now they got the military's out of control there. They got death squads. They got gangs. People can't even live. So they're trying to come up here to find some work, you know, to survive. So I think the origin of this caravan is the fact, and a guy named Juan Gonzalez wrote a book called Harvest of Empire, and he talked about how all the people that came from America to the United States, they came as a result of the United States government overthrowing their democratically elected governments and not letting these people develop their own system, develop their own resources to support themselves. You know, we just want to take their fruit and take their oil and push them down into poverty. The same thing that's happening to us in this country. So I think that now they have these people can't get documents, even though we see people working all over, Mexican people. I went to a party once in Detroit with a friend of mine, and I saw these guys were wearing these Western hats and boots, and I said, what percentage do you think these people are undocumented? He says, well, about 95%. So they get in the country and they work, but they don't get any contributions to workers' comp, Social Security, or any of those things, and they don't even know if they're going to get paid. So it's a source of cheap labor for this class we're talking about. Why don't they give them some documents? If they're going to work, why can't they work legally? The only people that can get documents are the ballerinas and the orchestra, the scientists. But what about ordinary people like us who want to come here and work? Why can't they work legally? So I think that it's just part of the oppression of this system, and they have super oppression to these people in these other countries. That's why they have to develop these jet airplanes and these aircraft carriers and these tanks to keep these people down.
Yes. Let me ask you one more question. I often hear people talking about illegal immigrant. Is there such thing as illegal immigrant? What are they saying? You know, first of all, I don't see how a human being can be illegal, but maybe you can help me with that one because I just don't see it. I think that, you know, when you talk about the Mexicans that's coming across the border, when you talk about Texas and you talk about Arizona, California, New Mexico, that was Mexico. And yet they talk about they don't want them in this country because they're illegal. How can you be illegal from your own country? This is your country. The Mexicans owned that country. It was stolen from them. But yet we got people still talking about they're illegal. Illegal? What are you saying?
Just like they say they didn't cross the border. The border crossed them.
Yeah.
California, all the Southwest was part of Mexico, and we had a pretext. We went to war and took half their country from them. Just like in Vietnam, we had that Gulf of Tonkin attack that caused us to go to war in Vietnam. And just like in Iraq, we said they had weapons of mass destruction, and we went on to war in Iraq, destroyed Iraq. And then we did the same thing with Mexico. We had a pretext of some American troops getting attacked as they had crossed the border. And then we went down there and took half their country. But I agree. I don't think anybody – how can anybody be illegal, but they don't have papers, they don't have documents to work, because we won't give them documents to work, but we'll exploit their labor, you know, we'll have them working here. These fruit farms, these vegetable farms, they couldn't survive without their labor, We see them working on the roads, and they do good work. The brick masons, they've been building things down in Mexico without mortar that have lasted for 1,000 years. They have all kinds of skills, but they won't give them any papers because they want to exploit their labor.
Wow. You know, when you think about it, it's so amazing to me how this country have come in and destroyed other countries, you know, Honduras. And when you think about what's going on there and what's going on around the world, and, you know, this, you know, and that's why it, to me, it's so important that we have to change this system. You know, we can't keep changing presidents and senators and state reps. That is not going to get us anywhere. We got to change the whole system, and it's going to take a revolution to do it, and a real revolution. And I always say Trump is 50 million strong. But remember, it's 350 million in this country. So that doesn't, you know, they it's more of us than them. And we got some good people. We got some good folks in this country that's willing to stand up to this nonsense. And but the point is, we have to get out here and do what we need to do. And that's why the League of Revolutionaries for a New America is so important. And I think people should want to join it. People should get out here and want to start joining the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. And it's not a difficult test. What you want to do, you want to stand up for what is right. You want to stand up for the future of your children and your children's children. And you cannot do it with the system that we have today, because it's just the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. And it's going to continue this way for not just today, but tomorrow, unless we do something about it. And this is an opportunity, I see, for us to take a stand against these evil, wicked people. And we're surrounded by them. But look, one other thing I just want to say to you, I want you to think about this new way of voting for these devils. Because I think if we figure out a way how people can vote from their couch, how people can vote from their computer, people can vote from their car, people can vote from other places, and you can only vote once. We put a code in there, so that code, once that code pop up, that you can only vote one time. And it may be able to splice into it, but I don't know. We haven't got that far yet, but we're working on it so that people can start thinking on this level, that now that we got to figure out a way how we can start voting from home, and that way everybody in the country can vote. More people have cell phones now than ever before. Most people can go to their neighbor phone and use their phone if necessary to make a call, because it don't cost anything anymore to make a phone call no more. You just have one bill, and you can make a million calls with that one phone. But I'm thinking, Dave, that we could change the flavor of what's going on and put our people in office to run this country the way it's supposed to be ran. Because if it, like I said before, if we don't overthrow this system will overthrow us, and we better work on that. Listen, you got the last word, and after that, I got to bring in my good friend Dave. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to re-invite everybody to come hear you speak at the Martin Luther King Jr. Luncheon on Saturday, January 6th, Central United Methodist Church in Detroit. It's $25 a ticket. You'll be speaking, and Claire McClinton from Flint will be speaking. And it's going to be a wonderful menu. We're going to have entertainment. We're going to have a raffle and silent auction. But to talk to one another and to figure out how we're going to get together and how we're going to get organized. If you want to call the People Tribune telephone number, Google number, at 248-629-0897. That's 248-629-0897. And please come out. Let us come and meet you face-to-face, and let's talk about this. Thank you very much.
Wow, thank you so much, Dave. The League of Revolutionaries for a New America is happening right in front of your eyes. You people out there, we got to change the way we do business. We got to change the way we're doing things, because if we don't change, they're going to change for us. And what they're going to put on us, we are not going to like. And Let's continue to stand for what's right. Let's continue to stand up and fight. Let's continue to do the things that need to be done. I got my good friend Dave on the line, and then I'm going to bring in my good friend Larry Pinson, and I got a couple of questions that someone sent me an email for. They want to hear what Larry got to say. They want to know about what Larry's going to do and how he's going to explain it. So they're listening, Larry. If you're there, they're listening, and they want to know. But in the meantime, let me bring in my good friend, David Frank from South Bend, Michigan. David Frank, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. Great, great show, man. And I'm telling you, this Dave, I could have listened to that guy forever. I mean, he's got it. He's on board. I want to be a part of his organization. And he's absolutely right. We've got to get organized, but people have to realize that in order to get organized, we have to communicate. That interconnects the brain cells when we start communicating. And you're absolutely right. We can vote from our couches. We can vote from an airplane. We can vote from anywhere. We have the technology today to do the things, whatever we want to do. And you are so right when you say there's a lot more of us than there are of them. All we've got to do is get organized. And listening to your program, I heard you talking about a lot of problems, and America's got a lot of problems, but what we need to talk about now is solutions. And
That's right. And
what we're pushing, have you talked to Dave about One Voice Now?
Well, we just got a chance to say it at my last meeting. Dave was at the last meeting, and I spoke about One Voice Now. That's the voting, where you can vote from home.
Good. Let me explain it to him very quickly then. I know we don't have much time.
Go right ahead, Dave. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's funny, Dave. My father was an attorney too, and it sounds like you're an activist and I'm an activist, and we both think the same. It's time to start telling the truth about what's going on in this country, and we have to change it. And we have the technology today that they didn't have back in the 1700s. We have the technology today to give each and every person a real and equal voice on the issues affecting their lives. And everybody wants equality. And the only way we will ever have equality in America or anywhere else is for everybody to have an equal voice. And that's what our plan does. Our plan is called One Voice Now. We want to give everyone one voice now. And this is the plan. It's very simple. Back in 1969, public broadcasting started, and people were excited about it because they thought it was going to be an opportunity to have their voices heard. They were going to actually broadcast to public. But what happened was the federal government started funding it, and instead of using it to give we the people a voice, what they've been doing is showing us cartoons and 60s music and antique roadshow. What we need to do is do what Martin Luther King did. He stood up with a plan, and the plan was, we want a voice. And what we want to do is we want to start a movement, sort of like Ross Perot started when he said technological town hall meeting system. We want to build that system, but Ross Perot didn't know how to build it. You build it from the ground up. You don't build it from the top down. What we want to do is use our local public broadcasting stations, the only non-commercial broadcasting stations across America that we the people own. Nobody else owns it. We do. And we want to use those stations as our new local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. And what's going to happen is people in your community that have ideas to make education better, better environment, a better tax system, better healthcare system, whatever it is, they'll be able to present their ideas to the community over the TV, radio, and internet. We'll debate these ideas because we want people to be educated on these different ideas. We'll videotape the debates and present that over our local issues, TV, radio, and internet channel, our local public broadcasting station. And you'll be able to vote on these issues with any touch-tone phone. All you'll do is call a local number. It'll go into a community database that will have your ID number and PIN number, ask you what issue number you'd like to vote on, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, count your vote, block you out from voting more than once, and we can have decisions in America made the way our founders wanted them to be made, of, by, and for the people. And that's basically it. It gives everybody one voice now.
And you know what, Dave, that's amazing, because and give everybody an opportunity to voice their choice. And the system now, you got to go to the polls, stand in long lines. Dave said he don't have to stand in a long line, but it gives you an opportunity now to with one voice, where you can vote from home, on your couch, in an airplane, in your car. It don't make a difference. You can even vote from your basement if you wish, and you can even vote from work if you wish. But the point is, our plan is to get everybody an opportunity to vote. That's where we're going with this, Dave. And I know that we're trying to spread the word. And I know my good friend Dave Smokner, he's going to spread the word in reference to this. And we're going to keep spreading it until everybody at least hear it. And then they can come up with an opinion. And then we can refine it to make sure that it works for everybody. So I think, Dave, that's where we're going with this. And I think that, you know, we're right on point. And I think we're going to continue doing just what we need. But, Dave, I'm going to give you the final word. So tell us what you want people to know.
Yeah, I'd like everybody to check out our website. It's called onevoicenow.org, O-N-E, voicenow.org. Go there. Check it out. It is the blueprint for the system that you need in your community to give each and every person a real and equal voice. It's all right there. It can be set up overnight. All we've got to do is demand that public broadcasting be used to broadcast the public. Build a community database, and we're ready to go. All of a sudden, those politicians that are causing all these problems in our lives, we don't need them anymore. And that's why they hate One Voice Now. So I hope everybody shares One Voice Now. All we need is an idea that works for everybody. It's been said that, hey, without a plan, you know, we plan to fail. This is the plan. Hope everybody likes it.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dave. Dave, that's my main man, Dave. A really, really a great guy. And we just want everybody to know we're trying to get things moving, because if the League of Revolutionaries for New America is going to work, we got to have a plan, and we got to work our plan. And if, like you said, if you don't have a plan, you already plan to fail. So we don't plan to fail. Let's do what we need to do. Now I got to bring in my good friend Big Yog, Larry Pinson from beautiful Chicago, my neighbor, my friend, my classmate, my teammate on my baseball team, a good guy, always was a good guy. He was, as a matter of fact, he was one of my favorite friends, intelligent, and all these other things. My good friend, Larry Pinson, Sr. Larry Pinson, Sr., are you there? Talk to the little Ed.
Yeah, I am, Ed. You know, I was just looking at the clock, man. And you know what? I got, 10 minutes?
That's it.
Okay.
That's all you need. Let me give you the first question that this guy sent me. So I got it wrote down here. And it says,
okay,
you talked about 168 hours. How did he get 168 hours? So talk to me about 168 hours.
Okay. I'll give it to you. I got to give it to you real fast. Okay. So I'm talking fast. So God created the world in 7 days. And between each day is 24 hours. So 7 times 24 is how much?
168.
That's it. So I hope he's listening. Whoever sent that question in, I hope he's listening, and I hope he got it. Okay.
So
everybody,
so hold on. Let me ask you this now. You saying okay that 7 times 24 is 168. But he's saying, I think what he's trying to say is that you're saying that that's 24 hours a day, and you only work 8 hours a day. So explain that to me right fast, and then we'll get to the next one. Go ahead.
Okay. Once you get your 168 hours every week, then God said he wants you to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. Okay, now people got to write this stuff down, and then so you can follow me. Because right now, to most of the people that's listening, I'm talking like a crazy man. When I say God said you work 1 week, it'd be all 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. Okay? Now, that means that you have to work 1 week, and that's 40 hours within that week. Okay, so now, the day that you work, 5 days, you have to be off 16 hours in order to go to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, you had to work 5 days, and you had to be off 16 hours each day. So 5 times 16 is how much? It's 80 hours.
That's correct.
Because I don't have that much time. Okay, but so 5 times 16 is 80 hours. So that's 2 weeks right there, right?
Okay.
Okay, now you got to be off two non-scheduled days within that week. So 24 and 24 is 48, right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's 2 weeks, and that two off days you have is another week and a day. That's why I say you are off 3 weeks and 1 day. That's how I come up with those figures.
Okay. Okay.
Have you got it?
I think I know where you're going with this. I kind of like figured that, but I want to see. It's not for me. It's for it's for the listeners. The guy that emailed me this question. If he didn't get it, he'll email me again, and then you can explain that once again. You can do that because I think I got an idea where you're going with that. You work so it's actually 888. You work 8 hours. You all 16 hours.
And then the next day,
5 days is 8. That's 80 hours for those 5 days. Plus you get the 24 hours. 24, which is that's 48. I think I got it. I think I know exactly where you at with this. I think I'm right there with you on this. Okay, which is kind of like.
And the most important thing, you have to have a pay location. You have to be aware of the pay location. So that's why I say it's very important to get the book, and then you can follow with the book. But you can't follow me. You can't follow me on the radio show if you give me more time so I can explain the job, man. Because now I got 5 minutes. So I'm looking at the clock. So, that day that lawyer you was talking about. He said, everybody got different problems. It's the different groups. All you just tell him that all your groups get under a CHAPS pay system. Everybody got 168. Don't worry about a robot. And then another thing, you talk about voting them politicians, having a safe way, make sure your vote count. Okay, let me tell you this. Our vote counted when we voted in President Barack Obama. It counted. And we voted President Barack Obama in office years. President Obama still wasn't able to give nobody no job that's tax-free.
That's true.
All jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
All jobs. Are now created with a tax pay system. They're like those crooked politicians, and same thing, they're not having their share of the wealth. What they are a reverse Robin Hood. You remember Robin Hood stole from the rich and he gave to the poor.
Right now
we're living in a system that the crooked politicians are stealing from the poor and giving it to the rich. CHAPS is the only thing is going to resolve this. You got people over there in Paris, France, with I think the yellow jacket I guess seen on TV the other day, throwing mm-hmm. rocks and stuff. They ain't gonna get it. You're telling them to run CHAPS, man. Call them up. Call them up. Hey, look, run CHAPS. You got 168. Run CHAPS. And then you know somebody that's smart enough that a lawyer or something like that. You know, I would hire a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
I would hire a lawyer. Are you listening to me?
Yeah,
I would hire a lawyer.
Dave is a lawyer, and he's a good lawyer.
Well, Dave, I need to hire Dave. You give Dave my number and tell him to call me tomorrow. So I will put him so he can track this down and let
mm-hmm.
everybody know that, chap, everybody got 168. You know, so right now I'm down to about 3 minutes. But what I wanted to talk about, the police, the firemen, school teachers, politicians, the shepherds in all churches, you know, and sports contracts and entertainers. All that stuff needs to be put in a CHAPS pay system.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. Right now, we're being charged tax to pay for them crooked police officers that cannot be a service to you. They're going to lock you up because of the hatred in them. See, but if they work in a CHAPS pay system, now they have to use their own hours because they have to accrue their own pay. See, you're working in a 4-year pay system. People don't understand that. But it's 3 fiscal years and one calendar year. Even the people at the United States Post Office, they still think they're working in a 52-week pay system. Yeah, it's not. They're hoodwinked. They've been
mm-hmm.
bamboozled. And they've been had. But you know what? Like I say, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Now we know. You just read my book. Go to my website, TensonSenior.com, and look at my blog. See what I say about overtime. Overtime is no good. It's a hidden cancer. Let those the corporation know about overtime. They think it's good, but it's not good. Read my blog. Read my blog what I say about a politician. A politician is not in an hourly pay system, but everybody else is in an hourly pay system. An hourly pay system is good, but you know you work 40 hours a week. So, but you work 10 hours for this year's salary, 10 hours to pay for all your benefits. When I say about paying for all your benefits, when you're off work, you have to pay somebody else to come in and take your place. That's called replacement worker.
Mm-hmm.
The CHAP is a replacement system. Just like now, a police officer, when he go on vacation, nobody's coming in and taking his job because he's going to pay somebody. But no, the taxpayer has to pay for replacement if they replace him.
Mm-hmm.
See, in a tax pay system, he has to pay for that. And then once that person in a tax pay system get through working, he retired, and he moves on. But you guess what? He takes his hours with him, even in retirement. And not only that, little Ed, he takes those hours with him beyond the grave. So who cares about a robot? A robot cannot pay taxes. You have to pay some forms of taxes, but not for no creating jobs. You pay taxes in order in a system. You paying for whatever that worker needs, whatever material he needs to do that, complete that job. But you don't pay for his salary. You don't pay for his salary. So now you get down to debt-free labor, police officers. Debt free, teachers.
Wow.
Debt free, firemen. Debt free, politicians. Debt free, shepherds in the church. They jump in the pulpit talking about give me my tithes and offerings. Oh no, doc, You know, Cal Pacers is debt-free. You know, sports contract. You know, LeBron James. You know, you out there trying to help people, stuff like that. You know, donate your money. Put your money in the Cal Pacers system. Anybody, you know, when the United States government talking about they're going to give out free money, put that money in a tax-based system so you can get that money back.
Absolutely. Hey, Yoga, time has just about ran out on us. But listen, I'll be back next week. Same time, same station. Let's talk.
I'll be here. But tell Dave to call me, man.
All right, then. Take care of yourself.